Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, beloved. I'd like to turn with you in Scripture to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 is our Scripture reading this morning. And just a little by way of context here, I'm preaching through the life of Moses in my congregation of about 30, 35 people. Back in the suburbs of Toronto, in Ontario, and in Canada. So this will be the sermon, Lord willing, I preach next Lord's Day there. And it's nice to be able to bring this message to you today. Moses has had the Lord appear to him in Theophany and the burning bush, as we've come to call that history in Exodus chapter 3, he has already fled to Midian. So at this point, he's been 40 years in Pharaoh's courts, 40 years in the wilderness. And the Lord is confirming his call upon Moses in Moses' life. So I'd like to read with you from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. And hear now the word of the Lord. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and ye shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." This is the word of the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I count it a privilege, beloved, to be in your midst this day. I thank the leadership for inviting me to the pulpit, and I pray that our time together may be blessed. And please be assured that my congregation, the congregation I serve in Ontario, is praying for you, your leadership, and for you, that the Lord would bless the work through you for the extension of His kingdom here. I'm no physician, but in doing some quick research in books and online, I learned how phenomenally made our hands and our mouth are. Think about everything, children, you can do with your hands. There are those in intense medical procedures, guiding a scalpel or an instrument very precisely to perhaps remove something from the brain or to operate on the heart. How the most sensitive procedures, yes, nowadays many are performed mechanically with robots or other instruments, but the human hand has been able to be so useful in such delicate times. Or think about the power, the strength of the human hand to screw something in. Just been moving into a new house in the last 6 months, preparing to be able to store bikes over winter. We hang hooks from the rafters in our garages. And so I drill a little pilot hole and I turn this hook and make sure it's solidly in that rafter. My hand and the muscles of my arm able to exert strength. Or children, you know what it is to hold on to something tightly. To not let your brother or your sister get it. That's the human hand. Marvelously, wonderfully made. And we can say the same for our voices, for our mouths. How a baby screaming is using the capacity of noise and the vocal cords and the voice box given by God. Or the most beautiful opera singer having well trained the voice, her voice or his voice, to be able to hit the exact pitch in the exact way. It's a marvel of physiology, a marvel of God's creation. In our passage for this morning, we see the Lord confirming Moses' call, giving Moses powerful signs with which to go to the people of Israel with. And it's easy to get lost in the wonder of exactly how this staff became a snake. Or how he put his hand and it comes out leprous, it comes out with a skin disease, and then he puts his hand back and it's clean, healthy. We can get caught up in the wonder. And we should. It's phenomenal. Or we can emphasize how perfect these signs are for the context. Moses was called to go to the king of Egypt. And the snake is a symbol of royal divine power of Pharaoh. It was even on his diadem. He was viewed in the eyes of many as invested with royal dignity and power. And the leprosy, skin disease, a curse of the old world, having that given and having that taken away in a matter of just a few moments or a short time. There's a contextuality there. Especially with the Nile, right? How the Nile was the very source of much fertility, much life in the growing of crops, and to turn it into blood. It was almost divine. So there is a contextual fittedness. These are suitable pictures, suitable displays of God's higher authority than the gods of Egypt and than Pharaoh himself. We can't miss that application either. But this morning I'd like to hit one point in this history that perhaps we don't appreciate it enough. When God calls Moses to do these things with his staff or with his hand or with the river, there's repeated use of the word hand and of the use of Moses' hands. And as Moses complains, "I'm not eloquent," there's the emphasis on who made the mouth. So what I'd like to bring to you from the Word of God is that God in this history was showing Himself to be closely familiar with Moses. Knowing Moses' very hands and willing to use those very hands to accomplish the purpose of God. And saying, "I will put my very word in your mouth." There's a familiarity, there's an intimacy. And this is something we need to appreciate. Because Moses, in all the history of redemption, was a picture of one with whom the Lord was familiar. Throughout the 10 plagues, we see time and time and time again the use of Moses' hands through which God would carry out those plagues. He would do things with his hands and God would bring the judgments upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And beloved, this is most important because it brings into focus how we must see Christ from this history. Yes, God knew Moses, as it were, face to face, familiar with him. He spoke as to a friend. But beloved, we in the New Testament, we have one who was even more familiar. God of God. Jesus Christ. The one through whom the mighty hand of God was at work. And the one who spoke the very word of Jehovah himself. With authority, with power. So God's familiarity with Moses has a very wonderful point in the development of redemption and the covenant of grace. Looks ahead to the one who would be very God of very God. And the question comes to us today. Are you and am I familiar with our God in a personal, practical, useful way? Is it something we say we know Him, we can serve Him, and yet there's distance? It's too often the case. But God would draw near to us again this morning and say, "I will make myself familiar. And I will make you familiar to me." So I'd like to look at you with the theme, as you can see in your programs, God's familiarity with Moses. Moses' hand, Moses' mouth, and God's people. So first of all, God's familiarity with Moses is through Moses' hand. The concern was rich in Moses' mind. He's heard the words of verse 18 of the previous chapter that said, "And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt." There's been that assurance. They will hear you. And Moses asks, what happens if they won't believe me or they won't listen to me? What happens if they say, the Lord did not appear to you? You were just talking to yourself. You were having recollections, maybe deep in thought, maybe a soliloquy, a talking to yourself. That's all that happened. After all, a few chapters back, Moses intervenes, and right away they say, "Who sent you to be judge or deliverer among us? Who appointed you?" So it's met with skepticism. And God answers, "What is that in your hand?" A staff. "Cast it on the ground." Turns into a serpent, a snake. And Moses ran from it. Right away we see Moses' fear brought to the surface. That this thing that was so useful to him, maybe a shepherd's staff that he held on to for so many years wandering in the wilderness, he throws it down and it turns into a snake, and Moses runs away. He's scared. This is an intense challenge. Moses, you used to hold this thing and now you're running away from it. But then there's also the challenge to go and pick it up. Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. You see, Moses, what are your hands but weak? But what can your hands be as you follow the Lord but doing wondrous things? He put out his hand and caught it. It became a staff in his hand. Moses would probably never see his hands as they hold that staff in the same way again. But the purpose is that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So this is a challenge. The Lord worked through it to teach Moses. To teach Moses that he needed most of all the blessing of God on his hands and in his work. It's not in the fear of men, but in the fear of God that his usefulness would be found. But then moving on to another sign. Put your hand inside your cloak. He puts his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put it back inside, and he takes it out, and it was restored like the rest of his flesh. The lesson here isn't a challenge from which he runs, but especially it's a understanding of purity. He was clean. Perhaps he had never had a skin issue like that. But he takes it out and there's impurity. There's disease. But then he puts it back in and there's wholeness. Where does cleanness, where does acceptability, where does holiness come from? But from the Lord. Another sign that God used Moses' hands to perform. And then, if they don't believe these two signs, the third sign, taking water from the Nile, pouring it on dry ground, and the water from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Another action with the hand, taking it out of the river, pouring it out. Especially in the display of the divine power of God over the Nile. Beloved, God's familiarity, God was impressing through these three signs. Not just things to use in the future, but impressing Moses. Moses, I know your hands. And I can work through your hands. And it's very interesting. In the Gospel of John, the first half of that Gospel is what we can call the Book of Signs, where there are various testimonies to the divinity of Christ, the glory of Christ. And in many of those signs in the book of John, we see emphasis. We see Jesus using his hands. Why did he bend down and spit and make some mud and apply that mud on the eyes of the blind man? God was at work through the hands of this Jesus. Why did he stoop down and draw a line with his finger on the ground and say, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone against this woman caught in the act of adultery"? The hand of God drawing the dividing line. Why did he bless the bread and he breaks it in the midst, in front of the crowd and in front of the disciples, showing that he's dividing it to be distributed? The hand of God. And so God shows his familiarity in using Moses' hands. God shows his familiarity in using Jesus' hands to do wonderful works. Even the greatest sign, that of resurrection. In John chapter 20, verse 27, when Thomas says, "Unless I see, I will not believe." What does Jesus do? But he shows his hands. He says, "Look. Look at the nail prints in my hands. These hands have been busy in the work of redemption. It is accomplished. It is finished. I am risen." So, beloved, we don't need in our day signs as Moses requested them. As God humbly, as God gave him them. We have the sign of resurrection life. And beloved, therefore I can say to you, God can use your hands. God knows your hands. What you do, where you've been, your struggles, but also your strengths. As we'll sing later, can we say, "Take my hands and let them be. Let them be useful. Let them be pure. Let them have the power of God working through them. So God was familiar with Moses. He knew the hands. Yes, He had created those hands, but He knew that it would be through the working of those hands that He would work deliverance for His people Israel out of Egypt. But secondly, we have God's familiarity with Moses' mouth. This is the challenge. I am not eloquent, either in the past or since You have spoken. I don't have a new set of gifts after You have called me that all of a sudden I become more fluent, more eloquent. Maybe He had a speech problem. We don't know. Maybe He had some issues with His mouth. We're not sure. But God answers. He says, I will put My very word in your mouth. And not only that, but I will take your brother, Aaron, and I will let you speak to Aaron so that Aaron can speak to others. Moses' mouth. God was the creator of it. Who has made man's mouth? And God would be the equipper. The one who would make that mouth, rather than an obstacle, He would make that mouth useful. Full of truth. And the task ahead. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Beloved, so often we can raise objections. But I'm not this. But I have this shortcoming. Who am I to be called in this or that area? And we think that they have legitimacy. And they do carry weight with us. We realize we're not perfectly endowed with every gift. We're not. But let us take thought of this. God knows. God knows your weaknesses as He knows mine. God knows our incapacities. But our weaknesses or our incapacities do not hinder usefulness. Again, we look forward to Messiah, to the one who would speak God's word. My sheep hear My voice, He could say as the Good Shepherd. He could have said of Him, He speaks as no other person, no other man speaks. Again, in the book of John, we read beautiful discourses about the bread of life, about the water of life, about the light of the world, about the resurrection and the life. God was with Jesus' mouth. Even as Jesus could say, I am. Will He not also speak through His word to us? To make Himself familiar to us and to make us familiar to Himself. Moses' mouth points us to the powerful divine teaching of Christ. Speaking as God, speaking with God's authority, speaking God's Word. Right on par with the received Word that had been entrusted to the people. But it's interesting also that there is much value in this familiarity of God with Moses' mouth, in the doctrine that we embrace, the doctrine of inspiration. That God put His Word in Moses' mouth. And beloved, that's why we embrace the Scriptures. Because we know that the God who put His Word in Moses' mouth is the God who put His Word also in the hearts and on the minds, through the pen, through the writings of the apostles and the prophets. Speaking not their own words merely, their own thoughts. This is what I feel like saying today, but saying, thus says the Lord. And it's so important for us, whether in Southern Africa, whether in Canada, whether in Asia, to stand on that authority. Moses, it's not about your eloquence. It's not about your words and the way you are able to construct arguments. It's not about what you will speak of yourself. It's about the authority of God. His Word. And dear ones, it's a mark of the child of God where we will stand firm in decisions we have to make. This is God's Word. And I'm bound to it. In relationships we will establish, Lord, guide my relationship with this person, with this coworker, by Your Word. So Moses' mouth, an instrument God would use to make Himself known. Directs us to God's Son. In Him, God is perfectly known. But also to the authority and the inspiration of God's Word. What a gift! That God put His Word in the mouths of His servants, and that He has recorded, caused it to be recorded. Are you and I using the Scriptures? Are we using the preaching of the Word as God's means to work in our lives? With the prayer, Spirit of God, bless Your Word. Children, you know what it is to respect your parents' hand. Just in talking to my family last night back in North America, there was a little bit of disagreement among my kids, my wife was saying. And one of the kids said, can't wait for Daddy to be home so he can discipline with his hand the disobedient children. So even though I'm continents away from them, my hand is on their mind. And the corrective value, perhaps, it can serve. And then, talking to them further, they're saying, Daddy, it seems so quiet around here. And I'm not sure how to take that, if I'm the one who makes the most noise or the one who generates the most excitement, but they know that with me, there's often more loudness. My mouth is missed. Or maybe not. But beloved God would have us to have on our hearts and minds. His hand. Strong. Able to be used. If you're not a believer here this morning, God's arm is strong. His hand is able to save a person like you. I can't do it with my hand. Parents can't do it. God can. And He's shown that He can by dying and rising from the dead in the person of His Son. God's mouth. It's what you and I need. But this comes then to a third point, God's people. What is required? What was required of Moses, of the people of God, as Moses showed these signs? Wow, what a sign! No. That they might believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the covenant God, is visiting them and working among them. You see, these signs weren't meant to glorify themselves. Wow, what a wonder worker Moses is. But they were meant to lead people with the blessing of the Spirit to believe God was at work. The people of Jesus' day asked for a sign. Give us a sign. And how did Jesus respond? You wicked and adulterous generation. You don't want a sign so that you may believe, but you want a sign so that you may have your lust and your unbelief fed. So how is God familiar to His people? But as His people embrace His Word and His works by faith, they live delivered. And they magnify the glory of God's grace. Beloved, should be our prayer here. Lord, we don't need more signs. You've given us the sacraments. You've given us many wonderful works to commemorate. But increase my faith. Don't let me be hardened as Pharaoh was against the signs and against God. But soften my heart. Humble my heart so that I may receive everything I need from Your hand and from Your mouth. Believers, we will live our entire Christian life relying on the hand of God and the mouth and the truth of God in His Word. There never is any point when we can say, my own strength, my own wisdom can get me through. How is God calling you to rely on His hand, perhaps in a time of suffering or trial? How is He using affliction and chastisement to bring us back to what His Word says? So the Lord shows familiarity with Moses through His hand, through His mouth, and so that His people would believe. And beloved, this brings a glory to the idea of hand, far beyond the phalanges and the carpals and the metacarpals, that the bones of the hand, invest it with a preciousness that the kingdom of God can be furthered and the mouth. How beautiful, not just that sounds can come forth, but that sounds of praise and that truth can be declared. So may you and I live familiar with the living God and useful for His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Most High, we call on Your name, knowing that You have worked in history, redeeming Your people, and also making Your people useful. We thank You for the pointers we have from this history of Moses, and Your familiarity with him, his hands and his mouth, pointing us to Christ, the way that You used Him to work the works of God. And yet we must say, with the prophet, who has believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And that led to His crucifixion, His death. And yet we thank You, Lord, for Your great salvation, that Your arm applies even today to people around the world, to people in our lives, to people on the streets. Please take us and use us, our arms, our hands, our bodies, also our voices, our mouths, for Your glory. Keep unbelief away from us, O God. Make us Your servants. We pray these things, asking You to forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.